This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time. It's the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, you've got Christine, myself, Matt, and we're taking you around the world and stopping off in the region known as MENA, the Middle East and North Africa, the Arab countries, to discover what it is like to be Arab and gay. How would you survive being thrown into jail just for being gay? Coming to Australia after such an experience, surely that would be a liberating experience and open up a whole new world of freedoms, or does it? What are the challenges of being gay and Arab in our hometown of Melbourne? To answer these questions tonight, we are talking to Tim and Ben from Helem Melbourne. That's Melbourne's Arab and gay group.
Bonjour, je suis Sébastien Lipschitz et je suis sur World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Time to kick off with some fun, fast facts. Now, homosexuality has actually been around in the Middle East and North African Arabic countries for centuries. There's examples that date back to 1700 BC in Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq, and homoerotic poems and paintings and stories.
Unfortunately, since then, the situation hasn't been great. Unfortunately, homosexuality still incurs the death penalty in five states in the MENA region, the Middle East, North Africa region.
So that's Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Yemeni, southern Somalia, and Mauritania?
Mauritania, yep.
Mauritania, there you go.
Unfortunately, I think interestingly, Yahya, who we heard from on our Algeria show, and you can podcast that if you go to the World Wide Wave on the Joy 94.9 page. So Yahya's written that homosexuality in this region is seen as a threat to heterosexuality, which is something that I haven't really read about before, because it challenges the restriction of sex to procreation and emphasizes the pleasurable and satisfaction-giving aspects of sex rather than the purely reproductive function.
Yeah. It's not even about masculinity, it's about reproduction.
Yeah, yeah, and the fact that sex can be a pleasurable act, and obviously sex with no outcome of babies is done because it is a pleasurable act.
Scandalously indulgent, that's what it is.
Exactly, which I think is fascinating. Unfortunately, trans rights in the region aren't great as well. Apparently, people who identify as trans can face double discrimination, so from the general public, but also from within the lesbian and gay communities. And I think this is changing as we see a huge number of civil society groups starting up in this region now, and a lot of really strong support from global organisations such as ILGA.
In fact, there was a book written by a trans person called Memoirs of Randa, and it talked about this person's hardships suffered as a transgender woman, and they are an Algerian activist who was forced to leave Lebanon and have published a book, and it became quite successful.
And I think Algeria and Lebanon really are hotspots for an active civil society. So, you know, a few positives, because coming into a show based in this region, listeners might think that it's not so great, but there are multiple Helem groups, and Helem is the group that we'll be talking to today, Helem Melbourne. There's a group called MEME, which is just for women. There's a Lebanese satellite TV station, which is just about LGBT issues. And then plenty of websites and TV stations and blogs and other things happening throughout the region, in Palestine, in Jordan, in Syria. So, you know, lots happening, actually.
It really is that, you know, the internet age, the ability to get messages out by groups who weren't able to previously access that before.
Exactly, and being able to mobilise that support, so making good networks across the region and getting that support when you're in quite a depressing situation in country. I think it's great, really positive.
And I'm sure we're going to have a positive chat tonight with our guests from Helem Melbourne. Tim and Ben are just about to come in to speak with us.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil. listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It is the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. And tonight we are talking Arab and gay. And we have in the studio with us from Helium Melbourne, Tim and Ben. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, how are you going?
Great. Now, talking about being Arab and gay, I guess coming out is one of those universal experiences for gay people. How hard is it to come out in gay culture? Perhaps, Tim, start with you.
I think it's almost impossible being in an Arab country to come out, especially with parents and family and friends. It's just impossible. But it's much easier being in Australia to come out. So I'm almost out here to my friends.
Almost out. What does almost out mean?
99.9% out.
Okay.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thanks, but not to my family, though.
but you said pretty much impossible. What are the pressures that somebody who is Arab in an Arab country, what are the pressures that they go through in terms of not being able to come out?
You will be outcasted, first of all. And it's illegal being gay in this kind of in countries like the Middle East. Some of the countries you get a death sentence, and some others you just get jail sentence. But still, like, you will be outcasted. You won't get jobs, and sometimes some families, they just kick out their kids.
What do you think is people's, or what is your perception of people's understanding of what it means to be gay or what it means to be trans in Arabic culture?
It's just, I don't know how I could say that, but it's being gay there means you have AIDS, first of all. This is kind of like the wrong impression, I believe. And just being gay, it's just you are a woman in a man's
not
body.
Masculine.
Which is, yeah, it's just really weird. They don't understand it. They don't have the knowledge about it and why it's being gay.
And then if you're a woman, are you a man in a woman's body?
Me? No. I'm a man in a man's body, but I do respect women in women's body and women in men's body and the other way around.
Now, Ben, what about you? Is there pressure to stay in the closet?
It is, actually. What I think is when you come out to your family will accept you, but the other members of the family, like cousins and nephews and stuff, they're going to abuse my own family. They will come and bully his mum and dad or sisters. And sometimes my sisters, for example, won't get married because their brothers is gay and people are afraid of them. They're going to have, you know, gay kids.
So it's a family reputation
issue.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is there a way around that? Is that, like, quite often in cultures when people get to know a gay person, it breaks down the barriers, but you're saying for extended family, those barriers aren't being broken down?
It's not going to happen. Even because where I came from, the religion is the mainstream things in Middle East. And usually, like, when you come as gay, they look at you and you say, oh, you're going to hell.
So there's this pressure from family. What about community? Is there are there written or unwritten rules about what you can or can't do?
Well, because most of the Middle East law came from the Quran, especially like, you know, Muslim government, and being gay, it's a crime by itself, and if you get caught with an action, you will go to jail. Like, there is no question about it. That's why most of the people, they would have their relation behind closed doors.
Tim, that's something that you've had personal experience with. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I did, yes, I did. I, as you know, I come from the Egyptian background, and being gay there, as you know, also, it's illegal. I had my bad experience there for being gay. I was sentenced for 2 years in jail. However, I didn't spend that much time there, thank God for that. I just spent 3 months until the charges were dropped. I had to go through lots of, what can I say that? It was a traumatizing experience for me. The charges were dropped only by the judge when I was examined by doctors to make sure that I'm not practicing any gay sex. So it was a little bit traumatizing.
So like a physical examination?
Physical examination, yes.
Wow. How do you come out of something like that? Do you take a positive from that at all that you've got through?
Honestly, I was traumatized. I had depression for like 5 years. I look at it now completely in a different way. It still hurts when I talk about it. But I think it's time to let it out. I think it's the positive thing out of it is I'm free. I'm now free. I'm enjoying my freedom. And I'm enjoying the respect of my friends whom I have here. And that's it. Sometimes I think people take their freedom for granted, which some others they don't.
I mean, in Australia, it is quite a foreign concept to us to be jailed for something like that. So do you think that Australians that you speak to get what that means, get what that experience is like?
I think the younger generation, they don't know how much the older generation suffered to grant their freedom. And but once they hear about it, they start to think about it. But yeah, as I said, it's just the story needs to be told.
The story needs to be told. Interesting concept, because I read one commentator who said media and public visibility will change hearts and minds. So really, he was saying that more Arab gay men need to come out for there to be increased visibility, presence for others to feel comfortable. Do you think that's the case?
Although I've lived in that experience myself, I still think it is so hard to come out in these countries. Although my parents, they knew about it, they had to read the reports of the police, and it was just fabricated reports, which just showed me as in horrible picture. However, it's so hard to come out in these countries. I don't know how are we going to go about it, but it maybe we just have to increase the knowledge first, educate people and younger generations.
Ben, if there was an out, you know, role model within society, do you think that would have made things easier for you?
Maybe, not sure at the moment. Well, because we grew up in a one-party society, you grow up, there's one government, there's one religion, and everyone has to look alike. Everyone has to be an Arab. And to be different, it's really hard. So you have to actually change that concept. Like, you have to have more parties and more religion in that country. Then people can be open to other sexuality and races.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
We've got Tim and Ben here from Helem in Melbourne. Family, what's expected of you? Perhaps start with you, Tim. What's expected of you as a son?
Get married, have kids, have a good job.
What happens when you don't fit that mold?
You will always get pressure to get married. And although with my experience and my parents knew about what happened, they still asked me to get married. And until I got to the stage where I said, no, don't ask me that question anymore, and they gave up. But that's the normal thing. You have to get married and you have to have kids.
And so the concept of same-sex marriage, I know it's quite a long way away from many Arab countries, but how is that perceived?
In there?
Yeah, so seeing that same-sex marriage has now come to lots of parts of the US and Europe and parts of Australasia as well, is it just seen as something ridiculous which is happening in other countries?
I think they see it as a low thing, exactly as the way they look at the gay people. So it's just not acceptable.
Now, even if you are gay, Ben, is there still pressure, just thinking about this reputation thing for the family, is there still pressure to act straight? So yeah. Even if your parents know you're gay, you still got to pretend?
Yeah, you have to.
What happens if you don't?
As I said, family will be bullied. Like, the other family member will bully, like, you know, my mom and dad and my sisters and brothers. So you have to act really, really straight.
Is there a bit of a generational change? You said that your family is generally more supportive. Do you think there is a generational change? Your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, I'm over 30, and I go home every 12 months, and the gay conversation, like, oh, this person is gay, or oh, I know he's gay, but there's like, it's not like you is gay, but it's like, haha, is gay. It's like it changed from a 100% negative reputation to, I'll say, 40% to 60% positive.
Now what you need to do, this is what I had to do with my parents, is start finding some of their role models, so like their favourite chef or TV celebrity, figure out that they're gay and let them know, yeah. Because it really makes them go, oh, okay, maybe it's not such a bad thing after all.
We'll just do like Little Britain, Mum, Dad, I'm gay.
And the only gay in the village. Religion. What role does religion play in these pressures within Arab society?
As Ben said, if you are gay, then you are going to hell. So whether you're like in most of the Arab countries, is either you are Arab or, you are Muslim or Christian, then you will be going to hell in both religions. It's very important factor, especially in Egypt. Egypt is mostly mostly Muslims, 10% of Christians, and it's big role there.
And is maintaining your religion something that you found many of your gay friends are able to do, to have that belief, which seems to be against kind of the core values of who you are, and to somehow unify the two?
Say that again, sorry.
So to be able to be gay and have a religion, rather than to be gay and renounce the religion that you were brought up with.
I have no problem being, my religion is being Muslim, and I have no problem being Muslim or practicing and being gay. I think my religion is between me and God, mm-hmm. and my lifestyle is between me and people, and yeah, everyone with his...
When we created Halim, last 2012, our mission and objective that we don't talk about religion and politics, and like, because lots of Arabs don't believe in lots of things. So if we sit down and talk about gay issues, and someone will say something about Islam and the other one doesn't accept it, it will create more problems. That's why Halim all the time trying to avoid religion and politics topics all the time.
Do you know what the situation is like in many Arab countries for people who identify as trans?
Well, it's never... In Lebanon, there's like famous people who actually change their sex, and some of them are really famous actor and actresses. In other countries, I don't think it's accepted. And if you will do it, that means you're a freak. So usually no one will talk to you, and no one will have you will have no friends with that if you change your sex.
Now let's talk about coming to Australia. We've had a question in from Graham. Ben, can you talk about how you are in Australia, what sort of visa you're on, and the Australian government's policies towards gay men coming? Do you remember the first experience when you came to Australia and what that felt like? Was it liberating? Were you excited about the possibilities that this might mean for you?
No. Since I was 21, I was traveling, and I lived in the States, and lived in Canada, lived in Greece, and now living in Australia. So coming to Australia was fine. I didn't have a culture shock. I lived in a small town at the beginning. It was a culture shock by itself, because mm-hmm. I was the only dark guy in the village. I moved by myself. Like, when I moved here, and I knew no one. Then after 3 years, after 2 years, like, I met my boyfriend, and we are happily for like 5 years. Answering Graham, on a de facto visa, we use the gay issues in Middle East as a key concept for our application, that my partner cannot go back home, my home, and live like a normal person. He might be executed being gay or being non-Muslim. So we won the case, and yeah, we're on de facto visa going on probably PR in 2 years.
And tell us about Helim. How did that begin?
Helim, it was an idea from a beautiful man called Adam. He decided to put all the Arabs together to share thoughts and emotions and support each other. Before Helim, I had only one Arab friend, and now I have lots, and we enjoy meeting and celebrating every other weekend, I think.
What countries do the various members of Helim come from, Tim?
We have different countries, Lebanon, Saudis, Yemeni, Egypt, different countries from the Arab region.
And what sort of things does Helim do to, I guess, help break down feelings of isolation and things like that?
I'll talk about my own experience. I joined Helim last year. I knew about it from a friend who told me about the first birthday party, and I went there and I really enjoyed it much. So I joined the group after that, and I suddenly have a family in here. I realized that I'm not by myself anymore. So these people are my family.
And is Helim just for the blokes, or are ladies and our gender diverse friends
you
welcome
after a membership?
As well? Might be.
Sign you up.
What's it to you?
It's for anyone in all. Like I don't know the abbreviations. Is the GLBTIQ or GLBTQI? I don't know the sequences.
Both
well.
Work. Both work. Yeah.
Yes, we do not discriminate anyone.
Wonderful.
As so, they are so, non,
so it's also people who like it, guys who like Arab guys. Supporters, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are welcome to come over in our meetings and gatherings. The group is usually for Arabs because it's just the same culture. We will understand each other. We will understand the sense of humor we have.
And even for our members' privacy, if someone contact, like I'm the one who's doing the Facebook and emails and all the contacts. If somebody contact us and said, "Hi, my name is X, and I'm an Arab, I'm gay, I would like to come to your meeting," we don't say to them like, "Yeah, you're welcome. This is the date and this is the time, this is the location." We have to meet them face to face, like me or Adam or other members. We'll meet them face to face and see if he's actually suitable for the group or not.
So to make sure it's a really safe environment for all the members.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Correct, yes.
Wonderful.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Where tonight we have been talking all things Arab and gay. Tell us, as far as Helim goes as a group, what's your plans or hopes for the future?
Hope for the future is seeing gay Arabs are being accepted in their own countries and being able to get married in this country.
Same-sex marriage.
Amen to that.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you provide any, do you have contacts with gay groups in Arab countries? Do you maintain any contacts there?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I've been controlling, dealing with the emails on Facebook, or we haven't received any things from overseas. And also what we'd like to do for Helim is to maintain and sustain the whole group, even when, if something happened to us, and we would like, you know, this Helim to last forever.
Yeah, it's really important. It sounds great that you're providing family for people. Be sad to see that go away when the organisers move on to other things.
Yeah.
And how can people who want to know more about Helim Melbourne contact you?
They can go either go to the website helimmelbourne.org or Facebook. Facebook is helim.melbourne or Twitter, helim_melbourne.
You're just everywhere.
Or info@helimmelbourne.org.
Great. So helimmelbourne.org, we're going to post a link to that on our Facebook page.
Fantastic. And that's Helim, H-E-L-E-M.
M for Mary.
M for Mary, that's right.
Now, have we got time for some quick worldwide rap, do you reckon?
Yeah, and I've got some happy ones. So Dean has pulled up some depressing ones tonight, but I haven't even looked at them. I couldn't bear to. But we've just had Ida Hobbit Day, wonderful, this weekend. And amazingly, Costa Rica has displayed a gay pride flag at the presidential palace. And this is because the new president, Luis Guillermo Solí, is from the left and was elected last month and is a huge supporter of the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia and just more generally LGBTIQ rights in the country. So it looks like a really positive move for that part of South America there.
Costa Rica? I don't think we've done a show on Costa Rica. Maybe we need to give him a call and say, speak to us about what it's like. Michael Sam? I don't think that we could we couldn't get away without missing the Michael Sam issue out of America. Apparently 47% of Americans think Michael Sam's kiss was inappropriate for television. That's still a lot, isn't it?
I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Okay, so this is the first NFL, as in gridiron, out player who's been picked up by a major team.
Oh, get a life, people.
It's sport.
God.
It is America, so nothing surprises, but 36% did say it was appropriate.
And you know what? For every person that complained, there was another person who didn't enter that survey who was like, that is hot.
Well, that's...
So, you know?
That's true.
This is David Wadali from the Ubuntu Foundation, Malawi, Southern Africa, on the World Wide Web, on Joy 94.9.
We've come to the end of our journey in looking at Arab and gay life. A huge thank you to our boys in the studio, Tim and Ben from Helium Melbourne. Thank you, guys.
And thank you so much to everyone who's interacted with World Wide Wave during the week, to Rachel, Matthew, Melissa and Lawrence as well.
They're on our Facebook page and you can we post news from around the world throughout the week. Our messages tonight from Graham, Brian and Mark.
Thanks very much for joining us and we'll see you next week on the World Wide Wave. This is Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.